All right, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 6:19. It's been a while since we've talked on this. We've been talking about seven steps to the highest kind of faith. Step number five, know the reality of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. So 1 Corinthians 19. 1 Corinthians 6:19, I mean. Everybody there?
Yeah.
It says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have known from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Verse 19 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You realize you're not your own. Just think about that for a second. You don't, Christians have the mistaken idea sometimes that they can do what they want. Not that God actually bought us, purchased us, and that we're not our own. Now really, that flies in the face of what a lot of people think. They think, well, I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to do what I want to do. Now, you could ask them, and they could easily say, well, no, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. I'm born again. But then in their lives, they are going to do what they want to do, not what God is telling them to do. In other words, I'm not going to go to that church. I'm not going to go to that job. I'm not going to take that anymore from this person. Okay, well, what did God say about it? Because you don't own yourself anymore. Well, I have a right to say, no, you really don't. I have a right to my opinion. No, you don't. Not if you're a Christian, no, not anymore, you don't. Your opinion doesn't really matter anymore. You line up with the Word of God. Well, I have a right to my own beliefs. No, you don't. I have a right to believe what I want to believe. No, you don't. Not if you're a Christian. You believe what God says. That's it. Right? So we ought to believe what the Bible says. Well, I just don't. Some people say, you know, well, I'm a Christian. I don't care that I don't believe that in the Bible, and I have a right to my beliefs. No, you don't. People don't want to hear that. I'll believe what I want to believe about it. But then, at the same time, I'm going to do what I want to do, but then I expect the power of God to operate in my life. And I'm going to expect the devil to do what I say, but I'm not going to do what God says. But it does not work. Well, I'm not going to do what God's telling me to do, but when I tell the devil to go, he's going to go. It does not work that way. What does it say in James? Do you guys just hold your finger in 1 Corinthians? What does it say in James 4? Let's look over there. Let's look at it. Let's look at James 4:7. Put your eyes on it. James 4:7. She can go back to verse 6. Verse 6. We could easily go up higher. So let's read verse 6. Maybe we'll go back up there. But it says verse 6, but he gives more grace. But it says but. So we better go up higher. And if you go to the next verse before, it says or. So we better go up higher. Let's just go up to verse 1. For verse 1, it says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now what are we talking about? We're talking about that we don't own ourselves. And that God dwells in us and that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? You and I and all Christians are the temple of God. I don't care what religious people think. We just read it. Okay, so we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is God. Okay, now, does that affect what we do? If we really had a consciousness of the fact that we are walking around with God inside of us, I'm talking to you, God is with me. God is inside of me. And if you're a Christian, God is inside of you. Now, if we really understood this, do you think this would actually affect how we act? Are there certain things that I may think twice about saying if I realize that God is within me and then that God is in you, in you, in you? Would that affect how I talk to you? Yes, it would. If we're actually conscious of that. And there's a whole lot of things that if this becomes real to us and we're walking around with just knowing that we're have the presence of God in us, then we are going to think twice about doing certain things that actually, when you look at the world, they don't think at all about doing it. So if we watch certain things on television, we're always been, you know, look at certain things on the internet all the time, and this becomes our consciousness, guess what? If the more we're conscious of that type of stuff and what the world does, we're not conscious of God. And so then it's easy to imitate what the world does. And it doesn't work. I'll just tell you, it doesn't work. It doesn't have anything to do with the grace of God. It doesn't have anything to do with His willingness. It doesn't have anything to do with His love. If we're conscious and constantly meditating on things of the world, then to somehow think we're going to just snap and give orders when we're not conscious of the Spirit at all. If you walk in the flesh all the time, and then you think somehow you're going to tell something in your body just to go when you listen to your flesh all the time, but now you're going to tell it, shut up. What? You've been listening to me all the time. You do whatever I tell you to do, and you're going to tell me to shut up? You do whatever you watch on TV, you say whatever you want, but now to the devil, boom, I'm going to tell you to go because right now I feel like I need you to go. Now in 15 minutes, I'm going to come back and yield to you again. You don't think the devil knows that? Now I'm not talking about work. See, people, when you talk, you hear this type of thing, people say, well, that's works. You're talking about what you do, not Jesus. No, Jesus did it, but Jesus can't do anything in anybody's lives unless we let Him do it. Is this not true? Is God going to come in and make somebody be born again? No. But He's going to come in and just move in our life immediately, even though we don't have anything. See, it's not about what God wills. It's what we allow in His life, in our lives. It's not up to God. Again, people think, well, that's works. No, no. See, there's a whole lot of stuff that people are floating around calling works now, and all it is yielding to God and believing Him. We're not talking about God's side, because God's side's done. If it was up to God, everybody would get saved today, and we go into the millennium now. It's not up to what God can do. If it was up to God, everybody on the face of the earth would be healed now, and everybody would be walking in perfect health. Number one, they'd be Christians. Number two, they wouldn't need to be healed because they would be going to heaven. Everybody would walk in perfect health. So why do we get caught up in, well, it's just God's will, it's God's will? Of course it's God's will. There's all kinds of things that aren't God's will that are happening right now on the earth. Right? So if we're going to experience what God has for us, something needs to change with us. Is that true or not? Okay, just with what we just said. If it's up to God only, then right now everybody on the face of earth would get born again. Everybody would be healed. Everybody would have their needs met. Like I said, if everybody's born again, that means there's no reason to stay on earth. That means we're in heaven, so all these things are kind of moot. But let's say that didn't happen, then it's God's will for everybody's needs to be met, is everybody's bodies to be healed. That's what God's will is. So if it's totally up to God, that's what would happen, because that's what we know from the Bible, right? So then, is there anything else that has to do with whether we experience God's will? Yes, it's our part. But see, people, if you start talking about your part, people want to say, no, 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 that's works. No, well, no, it's not. No more than receiving salvation is works. You receive what Jesus did. Now, people have made works out of anything. They say, well, you just got to work to receive it. No, you really don't. No more than you have to work to become born again. But for you to receive and yield to that truth, then this is the point I want to get over to you. If we're carnal, in other words, we're completely dominated by natural stuff and what's going on, and our mind's continually filled with that, and then somehow we think in spiritual things, when I decide to use the name of Jesus, it's just going to work. You think the devil doesn't know when you mean it or not? You're going to yield to him all the time or act like God is not with you. And then as soon as you decide to, now you're going to decide you're going to use the name of Jesus and he's just got to go. You don't think he knows that? Number one, he's persistent. And he will challenge you. And it's just, you use the name of Jesus, but then 15 minutes later, you're like, why doesn't it work? Well, he's right there saying, see, it didn't work. And if you say, I don't know why it didn't work, you're done. That's it. You lost right there. It's over. Why? Because you just said, well, it didn't work. Why? So what were you dominated by? What it looked like. See, if you're used to giving in to what it looks like, and you're used to watching TV and say, I ought to do that, and you go away and you imitate what you see, it is, you are programming your mind and heart, your mouth, to do certain things, and you don't just turn that off when you decide you need something. It doesn't change when you need something. Is this too hard? No, it's not. God didn't tell us to do things that were too hard. Does it take putting down your flesh? Yeah, but aren't we? But we're supposed to crucify our flesh. Because what he said that in the verse we just read, that our bodies aren't our own. We ought not act like we can do whatever we want. Right? Now, I'm not just preaching at you. I'm preaching to me too. We all have flesh. Everybody you know has flesh. Any preacher you've ever followed, they have flesh. If you think that's not true, you're ignorant. You don't know people. I'm not saying people just do stuff behind the scenes. I'm saying every person on the face of the earth deals with their flesh. And they are going to until they die. Then they don't have to deal with it anymore. They're out of it. It's dead. But you have to crucify. You have to tell it what to do. Paul said, I put my body under. I tell it what to do. I keep it in subjection. I don't take orders from it. Because it isn't just mine. It's God owns it, and it's the temple of God. So we can do this. That's the thing. People say, well, I can't do that. Well, you just disqualified yourself right there. If you say you can't do something that God said you can do, you're disagreeing with him. You're wrong. I'm wrong. It's wrong. It doesn't say, well, I just can't do it. Okay, so God's wrong? No. Okay, so I'm wrong. See, if I can't admit that I'm wrong, I'm not going to get anywhere. If I'm going to maintain that somehow God's wrong and it's God's fault, I'm in a bad position. Is that true? Either his word's true, and it's true all the time, or it's not. Now, anything he told us to do, he will help us do by his strength and grace, and we have to believe that. We can't go by what we say and say, well, that's just not possible. I just don't see how. It doesn't have anything to do with what you see. It doesn't have anything to do with what you can think or understand. It's what his word says and what you can believe. If you can believe you can do it, you can do it. Even the world acknowledges that. Whether you say you can or whether you say you can't, you're right. You ever heard that saying? People in the natural say that. It's biblical. You say you can't, immediately you bind yourself to you can't. And the devil will come and say, yeah, you're right, you can't. You're stupid. You can't do it. But you say, I can, he'll challenge you. You say, no, you can't. But you maintain, no, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He wants me to do this, so I can do it. And I will do it. Oh, shut up. You know you can't do that. You're stupid. Yes, I can do it. You don't think he'll challenge you like this? Oh, yeah, he will. Well, no, he doesn't challenge you. He'll just get out right out of the way. He has to in the name of Jesus. He has to if you force him to. Because if you say something and then it doesn't look like it, and then you go, well, I guess it didn't work, you just invited him right back in. And he said, woo! Yeah, it was easy. All I had to do is just push you just a little bit, and you just gave. That's all. If you think that the enemy isn't going to test you on every point, you're wrong. He will push. He doesn't have any legal right. I'm not saying that. He has no legal right. But he's a criminal. They don't play by the rules. You have to force them. That's why there's law enforcement. Police officers are law enforcement. If everybody just followed the laws, we wouldn't need them. The devil does not follow the law, in case you didn't know. He is worse than any criminal on the face of the earth. Way, way worse. He's just wicked. You think of the worst possible heinous crime you have ever witnessed, and he is a million times worse than that. He'll do it that many times over to every person he can take out, to any person he can influence. But we have the Spirit of Almighty God inside of us, and we have to become more God-minded. And the fact that he's in there and not so natural-minded, and that this is all there is, and I just don't feel like doing that, so I'm just not going to do it. And I'm not being hard on you. This is just the word. All of us can hear this. Anybody on the recording can hear it. And you know you have flesh just like we all do, and we have to keep our flesh in check. James 4:4, we are reading, it says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, we're in the world. We're going to rub shoulders with the world, but that doesn't mean we have to act exactly like them. And if we say, well, I want to act just like them, I want to do everything they do, then why does it surprise us that we get the same results that they do? If I want to brainwash myself with the same junk that they do, they don't believe. You watch any television show or movie or read any secular book, they are going to give you the idea that they're not going to tell you that you can actually overcome a life-threatening disease unless it's with doctors or some drug. They are not going to tell you that you have any chance of overcoming it with the power of God. They will never tell you that. I'm talking about a natural show. It will never. If you see somebody in something or you read something in a book about somebody that has an ailment, you will see them helpless against it except for the power of medicine or the power of some drug or something, doctors. I'm not knocking doctors at all, but I'm saying that's the limit of the hope. Right. And if natural man can't help you, you're done. Is that true or not? They're not going to tell you that God is in you and you have the power, the greatest power in the universe in you, and that this thing has nothing against you because by the blood of Jesus you've been redeemed from every sickness and it has to go. You're not going to hear that. So if you program yourself with junk, then when you come up with a situation that looks impossible in the natural, you know how you're going to react? You're the same way as the natural people. Yeah, if you watch somebody, exactly, freak out. If you watch somebody if you've seen any kind of thing where a show or TV or movie where they've ever portrayed somebody being diagnosed with some life-threatening disease, you can recall certain things where the doctor tells them and they're like, Yeah, putting their hands over their mouth and, oh, my child, or oh, my husband, what, he's going to die. You can replay that over and over. So if something like that happens to you, what's your brain going to replay for you? Oh, my gosh, I'm going to die. And start, like, shaking. Instead, it's not going to be the reaction of God Almighty's on the inside of me and he already paid for this and this has got to go. You're not going to hear that. That's not what's going to come to your head. How is it going to be different? You're going to have to yield to something different than the world yields to. You can't make friends with everything the world does and say, I'm just going to be just like them and then expect different results. What are we talking? We're talking about how to have the highest kind of faith. We're talking about knowing the reality of the indwelling presence of Almighty God. The reality, not a doctrine, the fact that God is in me. You have to know it. It can't be a doctrine or something that you tap into just when you think you need something, and then somehow you think everything's going to change. Everything you've programmed your mind and your behavior and your muscle memory and everything is just going to go away because you want it to. Now, I'm not saying the grace of God isn't powerful. It is. And I'm not saying if you yield yourself to God that he can't bring you up. He will. But we can't just yield to the wrong things all the time and act like that's not going to affect us. We ought to treat some of these things that we're presented with just like poison. Because it is. We ought not to tolerate any of it in our system because it's not without effect. It says, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? That means he's not going to share you with anybody. The spirit of God lives inside of you. Doesn't it just say the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? God lives in us and he doesn't expect to share us with other people. I mean, with the world. And with you saying, well, you know, I'm going to give myself to such and such. No, you're either his or you're not. And if you are, we ought to act like we are. We don't have the right to just do whatever. We don't. It's easy to forget this because, again, if you watch certain things, let certain things come through your eyes, and you read things on the internet, and you read news, they're going to tell you you are in full control of what you do, and you can do whatever your heart desires to do. In fact, whatever makes you happy. It doesn't matter how it affects anybody else, as long as you're okay with it, because this is exactly what people say. Well, it's not harming anybody. It's okay what you believe. It's okay what you do. It's not harming anybody. It's not. If it's against the word of God, it does harm people. It takes people's attention off it, right? But that's not the message you're going to get from the world. They're not going to tell you that. They're going to tell you it's okay. You do whatever your heart desires. You do what makes you happy and what's right for you, right? That's not the same as believing that the presence of God's on the inside of you and that you are not your own. We're not our own. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I can just do what but I just choose to believe this is what God means. You don't get to choose. You can't have the attitude that you get to choose. A Christian can't. Now, you may be ignorant. That's different. But once you hear the truth, your response ought to be, I see it. All right, I'm gonna change. I'm going to change. I see it in the Word. I don't have the option not to. Well, I don't care. The Bible says that this is the way I believe for 25 years. This is the way I'm going to still believe. That's not, should not be our attitude. Now, we are going someplace. This is all in line with what we're talking about because this will affect your faith. It will. If you think, well, I'll just do whatever I want over here and then I'm going to believe God. But what do you do with the rest of the time? That hurts your faith. All those images, all those thoughts, you got to be careful what you put in. I mean, commentaries, opinions, Well, I'll just read what the other side says just to get, you know, a broad view of the subject. I'll just read what somebody that is completely in unbelief and doesn't believe in healing. I'll just read what they say just so, you know, I know the other side. So I can minister to them. That's what people say. You know what? You read those arguments and listen to those arguments, the devil will now use that against you. Now, where you were strong in faith, now all those doubts that the devil has successfully planted in somebody else's mind, they've bought it hook, line, and sinker, which is why they wrote that book that's completely steeped in unbelief. You're going to open yourself up and read that junk so that you look open. You know what you're going to deal with? You're going to deal with thoughts that are in doubt and unbelief. Now, everything that person had to deal with, now you have to combat them. We have to be very careful what we read, what we put in. Not fearful, but you don't just read something thinking, well, I'm strong enough in faith now, I can handle it. That's a foolish way of looking at it. There are things where if you're feeling strong in faith, then continually feed on things that are going to build your faith. Don't fall in the trap of thinking I'm strong enough now, I can read this just so, you know, I strengthen the argument. No, stay with faith. Build yourself up on things that feed your faith. Don't open yourself to just watch this movie because, you know, I mean, I'm okay and this will be okay. I'm an adult. Man, there's kids' movies I wouldn't watch that have concept, that are rated. Pretty much every kid movie is at least rated PG now. It's rare to find a G movie. They do still make them once in a while, but even some of the G movies, it's not the rating. There are some concepts in G movies that are I would never watch. Because it has nothing to do with the language. It has nothing to do with violence. It has to do with the spirit behind what's being made. It can be completely look innocent to the world and be demonic. It just is coming at it from a view that's putting stuff in, spiritual stuff in, to children and stuff that you would not want to watch. You don't just say, whenever we watch a movie, and the kids would bear witness to this, there are things that we'll look at the preview or whatever, I say, I don't like it. I don't like the spirit behind it. I'm picking up on, so I don't like it. And then there's other ones that you can say, well, that looks like it's a little bit, you know, not that it's not pure, but it's like you look at it and you would think this other one, well, surely if you'd watch this, you'd watch that. It's not so. Because you can pick up on it and say, there's no way I'm watching that. You can look something that looks like it's not quite as, maybe it's rated PG, and it's fine. You're like, yeah, this is fine. This doesn't bother me. There are R-rated movies you could watch easier than G movies. R-rated, I mean, Passion of the Christ is rated R. Because of violence and stuff. That doesn't mean it's just out the window. It means you're dealing with stuff that maybe kids shouldn't see. But there are G movies that I would avoid and watch a R-rated movie sooner. Not that I watch a lot of R-rated movies. I really don't. Can't remember the last one I watched. But other than like The Passion of the Christ. But I'm just saying, the principle. We don't go by what the world goes by. So what does it say here then? This is what we're getting to. It says, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, say that fast, 5 times. 6, but he gives more grace. You notice that? He's talking about that God cares about what we do. But then he says, but he gives more grace. What's grace? It's unmerited favor. He's going to give us help and ability. It says, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He resists people that think they don't need to follow him or they're going to do it his own way, but he gives grace, he gives help to people that say, I'll do it your way. I'll do what you want me to do. I believe you're in me. I'm going to yield to you. Now, we read all that because we were going to verse 7, but that's the context verse 7 is written in. Verse 7, therefore, what? We're reading therefore because of all the stuff we just read. Therefore, he's talking about the spirit in you is jealous. You shouldn't live with the world. You shouldn't go after the world. And so he says, therefore, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He says, therefore, submit to God. Therefore, submit to God. What does submit mean? It means put yourself under. That's what it means. It's a military term, to put yourself under, to rank under, saying, I'll do it your way. Yes, I'll do it your way. That doesn't mean you agree. Your flesh may be recoiling, but you say, yeah, I'll do it your way. I'll do what you tell me to do. So it says, therefore, submit to God. And then what does it say? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, so many times people just quote the second part of that verse. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That is taking a verse out of context just as much as any verse you've ever heard of taking it out of context. Because everything we just read is the context. Don't do things the world's way. God is in you. He is jealous of what you do. Submit to what he says. He'll give grace to the humble, but he's going to resist the proud. Therefore, submit to him, and then the devil will flee from you. But you think you're going to ignore all the rest of that first part of the fourth chapter of James, and then resist the devil, you have to flee from me, the Bible says it. No, the Bible says that, and it said a whole bunch right before. Right? It said that we ought to do what God tells us to do. So we went back to 1 Corinthians 6. We're going to wrap up here. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Let's close there. It says, Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're to glorify God in our body because he owns it. And the more we're going to do that, the more we're just conscious of the fact that he's living on the inside of us and that we are the temple of Almighty God. And that's going to make our faith grow up. The more we are conscious of the fact, the more we act like it's true, the more we submit to him, the more when we say, I want to do that, but Lord, I'm submitting to you. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Your faith, your reliance on him will get stronger and will shoot up. And then when you stand and you say, shut up, leave in the name of Jesus to the devil, your faith, there will have a punch behind it. It's not works. It's faith. You believe your words. Why? Because you put yourself under. When you tell your body to do something, it does it. Now when you tell the devil to go, you fully expect him to go. And he will. He may resist you, but he's got to go. Amen?